Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. This is the program in which you, the public, turn the tables on the authorities. Send us questions with the right answers. Four experts guarantee to answer them correctly or pay you $5 for every question that's too much for them. Each question accepted wins you $2. You can win, therefore, as much as $7 per question if you're lucky and information pleases not. Our master of ceremonies is Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you, Mr. Cross. Good evening, everybody. May I introduce the four gigantic brains who will meet all comers tonight? Our two regulars, Franklin P. Adams, columnist of the New York Post, and John Kieran, sports expert, lepidopterist, look that one up, and general walking encyclopedia are with us as usual. And they will be aided and abetted by two guests of honor, Mr. William Bonnell, motion picture editor of the New York World Telegram, and the famous and influential author, journalist, and radio commentator, Miss Dorothy Thompson. Information, please, is particularly proud to have secured Miss Thompson's cooperation. Proud, amazed is the word, for with all the things Miss Thompson does and does well, it's remarkable that she's found the time to come down here and join the fun at all. Now, Miss Thompson and gentlemen, the rules. I'll put the questions to the entire board. If you know the answer, raise your hand. A question composed of no more than two parts must be answered by one man or woman. If it has more parts than that, the board may cooperate. But if any part is answered wrong, we lose $5. When you hear that cash register ring, that means the questioner is actually getting his $5. Finally, ladies and gentlemen, remember that information, please, is unrehearsed, unprepared, happy-go-lucky, fancy-free, and enough adjectives, we're off. The first question comes from Mr. Eddie Bayer of Miami, Florida. You're asked to finish four of the five following Joe Miller gags. For example, could any of you finish this one? Who was that lady I saw you with last night?
Seen you with.
Seen you, I beg your pardon. Seen you is correct or incorrect, as you choose. What would the answer be, Mr. Adams?
There are two answers. One is, that was no lady, that was my wife. The other is, that was no lady, that was your wife.
I'd have to pass either one of them. Well, now, Miss Thompson and gentlemen, you understand the idea of this question. One, why does a chicken cross the road? Volunteers. Miss Thompson.
Get to the other side.
That's correct. Two, why do firemen wear red suspenders? Mr. Kieran.
To keep their trousers up.
Very good. Pants would be equally acceptable, Mr. Kieran. Three, do short skirts make women look shorter? Mr. Kieran.
No, but they make men look longer.
That's right. All right, see if you can get this one. Hey, the garbage man is outside. Hey, the garbage man is outside. Mr. Kieran.
Tell him we don't want any.
That's right. That's four out of five. And five, have an accident? Have an accident? Tough one, eh? Mr. Kieran.
No, I always travel this way.
That isn't the one I have down here.
Well,
no,
I made all
I
mine
had
up,
one.
So I don't know.
No, thanks. I just had one. Well, we had four and a half out of five, about, with Mr. Kieran coming in nobly. I wonder whether any of you know who Joe Miller was, by the way. I have a little information on Joe Miller. This is off the record. Mr. Adams.
He wrote a jest book, none of which things that you read was in there.
Well, have you got that jest book in front of you?
No, but I have it at home. I'd be glad to go home and get it.
No, you can't go home now. Now that you're here, you have to stay here. Actually, Mr. Adams, that may be true. I'm not sure that all of these gags were in the original Joe Miller jest book. You were wrong in one particular. He didn't compose that jest book.
It was a compilation.
Yes, it was composed just a year after his death. And it is a solemn fact, Mr. Adams, that tonight, or at least this year, marks the 200th anniversary of the death of Joe Miller.
He comes to me out like a bolt from the blue.
Yes, no. Seems only yesterday, doesn't it? He died in 1738. And a year after he died, somebody collected a book of his jests, and they called it Joe Miller's Jest Book. And humorists have been using that jest book ever since, haven't they, Mr. Adams?
Yes, without much success.
Two. From G.S. Ransom of Gilderland, New York. You're asked to answer the following questions. There are three of them. One, who became a World Series star by making an unassisted triple play? Mr. Kieran.
Billy Wambsgans in the series of 1920 played second base for Cleveland. If you want further details, I can supply them.
Yes. I'm sure you can. Or consult your daily paper.
How do you spell Wamsgans?
W-A-M-B-S-G-A-N-double-S.
Pretty good, pretty good.
Perfect. Two.
Name the pitcher who won three games from the Philadelphia Athletics in a World Series, shutting them out in all three games. Mr. Bonnell.
Christy Mathewson.
That's correct. What series was it? Do you remember the year? Mr. Kieran?
1905.
That's right. Pretty good, Mr. Bonnell. Three. What team upset all pre-series predictions by winning four straight from a wonder team? Mr. Kieran.
The Boston Braves of 1914.
Over what team?
Over the Philadelphia Athletics of 1914 and the $100,000 infield.
Very good. Can't catch Mr. Kieran on baseball. Now, Mr. Kieran, just for the benefit of the people who are listening in this evening, who's going to win the World Series?
Well, I'll take a wild chance. I always believe in going for the underdog, and I will pick the Yankees.
Pick the Yankees. All right. A special tip to our listeners. Three. From Mary Roney of Highland Park, Michigan. What imaginary character lived in each of the following places? One, La Mancha. What imaginary character lived in La Mancha? Mr. Kieran.
Don Quixote.
Correct. Two, Grand Pre. That's G-R-A-N-D, space, P-R-E, Miss Thompson.
Vangeline.
That's correct. Three, Dunsinane. Dunsinane? Mr. Kieran?
Well, that's in Macbeth.
Yes, and Macbeth was in Dunsinane, too. Yeah. Four, Salem. Salem? Mr. Kieran?
Witches.
You know, that's perfectly correct. If there ever was were imaginary characters, witches are they. How's that for a sentence? But I'd like to get a specific imaginary character who lived in Salem. Mr. Bonnell.
I don't know a name. The girl who had the scarlet...
First name was Hester.
Hester Prynne.
Yes. Prynne. Among the three of them, Miss Thompson, Mr. Adams, Mr. Bonnell, they got Hester Prynne. That's correct. Five, Van Buren, Arkansas. Van Buren, Arkansas. Van Buren, Arkansas. Very simple. Very simple. One, two, three. Why, it's Grandpa Snazzy or Aunt Peachy Sims or any of Bob Burns' relatives. Don't you listen to the radio? Don't listen to the radio.
I don't, for one.
That's going to cost us $5. We had to get 5 out of 5 on that. The next one from Mr. W.F. Barber of City College, New York. Name the doctrines or treaties which were intended to advance the cause of peace and which were sponsored by the following American secretaries of state. I'll repeat that again. Name the doctrines or treaties intended to advance the cause of peace. You remember peace, don't you, gentlemen and Miss Thompson? And sponsored by the following American secretaries of state. One, Hughes. You have to get 3 out of 4 on this. 4 altogether. Hughes. If you don't know the name of the treaty or doctrine and can describe it reasonably well, I'll accept that, being in a very good-natured mood this evening. Mr. Bonnell.
I think it's the World Court.
No, that would not be correct. At least to my knowledge, which is not so good.
Neither is mine.
The answer is the Washington Arms Conference, which negotiated the naval disarmament of 1921-22. Would that be right, Miss Thompson and
That's
gentlemen?
Right. Yes.
Thank you. That was, I'm afraid, a little beyond us. To Kellogg. Kellogg. Oh. Miss Thompson.
Pact of Paris. Kellogg-Briand Peace Pact.
That's quite correct. That still seems like a pretty good idea, that peace pact, doesn't it, Miss Thompson?
No.
Well, it was in its day. Stimson. Secretary of State Stimson. Ex-Secretary of State Stimson. He ought to be shifted to Secretary of War so that I could pronounce his name. Stimson?
He sponsored...
I beg pardon, Miss Thompson?
I don't know what it was called. He sponsored the Hoover disarmament program. It's presented League.
That might be correct, Miss Thompson. I wouldn't dare contradict you, as a matter of fact, but what I have down here is the non-recognition doctrine, the refusal to recognize any land acquired by force of arms.
That's correct.
That would be applied particularly, and was applied to what land especially? Manchuria, wasn't it?
Manchuria, Ethiopia.
Yes. Two down.
Do you know what to do with Austria?
No. For Hull. Secretary of State Hull.
Reciprocal trade treaty.
Yes, the reciprocal trade pact. 2 out of 4 on that, and I'm afraid that's going to cost us $5. That was a tough one. Very clever question for Mr. Barber. The next question for Mr. W.D. Galloway, Jr. of St. Paul, Minnesota. You're asked to name the movies in which the following domestic servants had a prominent part. One, A Butler Who Was a Tramp. Movie in which there was a butler who was a tramp. Have to get 3 out of 4 on this. Would Mr. Bonnell.
Would the name of the actor do?
Who was it?
Brian Ahern.
I don't know. I haven't got that down here. Maybe it's correct. I'm afraid I have to get the name of the motion picture. Miss Thompson, you looked as if you had the name of the motion picture right at the end of your tongue.
No, I have a vague idea about it, that it had Theodora or something like that in it.
No. We might come to that one. My Man Godfrey is the answer. Now we have to get the next three correct.
My Man Godfrey.
He wasn't a tramp?
Is he a tramp? Would you call him a tramp? He wasn't a butler, but I wouldn't call him a tramp.
Well, that's very decent of you, Miss Thompson. would you call him a tramp, Mr. Bonnell? You're
a
motion
picture
editor.
Forgotten
man. You've forgotten.
He was a forgotten man.
Well, down here he's listed as a tramp.
Well, over here he was the forgotten man.
They're ganging up on me this evening. Let's see if you can get the next 3 out of 3 correct. A maid who was of royal blood. Miss Thompson.
Tavarish,
yes. And beautifully pronounced, Miss Thompson, may I say. Three, a chauffeur who was an author. Miss Thompson.
Merrily we roll along or live or
Not
something.
Not quite. Live. Merrily we live. You got it. And four, a gardener who was an artist. You almost had it before, Miss Thompson. You've got current events on the brain, Miss Thompson, that's all. Stop worrying about the situation and concentrate on a gardener who was an artist.
I saw it. I can't remember.
Theodora goes wild. 2 out of 4 wrong. That's going to cost us $5 going to Mrs. W.D. Galloway.
Because I forgot Theodora went wild.
The next one from Mr. Steve Paul Potcheber of Leechburg, Pennsylvania. Oh, this is a dandy. I hate to mention this. Give 5 typical remarks that can generally be expected to start a domestic quarrel or are generally used during a quarrel. For example, why don't you use the ashtrays might be one. I don't know what's on Mr. Potcheber's mind or what his past history is that he should send us this question. 5 typical remarks that can be expected to start a domestic quarrel. Mr. Adams knows all the answers. Mr. Adams.
Only 5?
Only 5.
He doesn't get it from my family.
Yes. That's very good. Adams, want to go ahead? You seem to have this at the finger's end, so to speak.
That's just like you.
That's very good. I feel angry already. Are the rest of you married or unmarried? What are you concealing, Mr. Curran?
Well, of course, if you have to...
Of course, if you have to. Don't know in just what juncture that might be you.
Any juncture.
All right, I'll let that one go. That's 3. 2 more. Mr. Kieran.
Why do you have to have that window open? Or closed, as the case
yes,
may be.
Yes, or half open, or half closed. That gives 4 answers. That's 4. Now we have to have one more. Mr. Bonnell.
Why didn't you let me know you were bringing him home for dinner?
Yes, that's Thank you very much, Mr. Bonnell. They passed the married quarrel test beautifully. The 7th question from Mr. W.J. Boyd of Long Island, New York. You're asked to give the origin of each of the following words. There are 5 of them. And we'll begin with bloomer. Bloomer. B-L-O-O-M-E-R. Mr. Kieran, bloomer.
Why, a bloomer is used in sporting...
That's true. But that's not the origin of the word as applied to female dress. Miss Thompson. Miss Thompson.
That's out of my line.
Out of your line. Now, you take a rest, Miss Karen, for a moment. Miss Thompson, do you know about bloomers?
I believe that it was named after a lady who adopted them to show the emancipation of women.
What do you think?
Amelia Bloomer.
Amelia Bloomer, Mr. Adams, is quite correct. A dress reformer of about 1850. That's her date, not her height. as a matter of fact, Miss Bloomer, or Mrs. Bloomer, denied either inventing or wearing them. But she has been portrayed in many encyclopedias and dictionaries as wearing them.
That's an outrage.
It is an outrage. I think the whole thing ought to be stopped, or at least shortened.
Has been.
Two, sandwich. Sandwich. Mr. Adams.
Invented by Lord Sandwich.
It wasn't, a lord. What's better than a lord?
Earl.
Earl, yes. That's
no
correct.
No charge.
Thank you very much, Mr. Adams and Mr. Kieran. Three, guillotine. Guillotine, Mr. Kieran.
Dr. Guillotine invented the machine that was named after him. At least he got credit for it.
Yes, he suggested it. Pretty suggestion. Four.
In order to humanize execution.
Yes, in order to humanize execution. It's
you
worked
hardly
beautifully,
feel
hasn't
a shot.
Four, Van Dyke. Van Dyke. Mr. Kieran?
Well, because Van Dyke painted so many portraits with that type of beard on, it was current in those days by the Van Dyke beard.
That's quite correct. Well, how would you describe the beard?
You do it with a gesture like that.
Yes, but that doesn't help our radio audience in the least.
Well, it's, you might, the French call it the barbe de sous-officier.
Well, that makes everything perfectly clear. Perfectly all right. And five, gerrymander. 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 Mr. Kieran?
Well, do you want it, Frank?
All
you
right,
can have it.
You can have it, baby.
Do you like it, Mr. Adams? Do you like gerrymander?
It was a change of voting precincts. And I think invented by Mr. Gary.
Of what state?
Massachusetts.
That's quite correct. How did you get the mander part of it? This is the hard part.
I don't have to know everything.
No. Still, it helps. It helps. We're only supposed to get 4 out of 5 on that, so that gives us an okay on each of the following words. But I am now going to tell you how gerrymander came about. Elbridge Gary was the governor of Massachusetts, divided the state into districts in order to allow himself to get a plurality of votes. He rearranged them, and he made a little map of the division of those districts. And the map looked like a salamander. And a friend of his put Gary and salamander together and left out the salar, and he called that gerrymander. Now, isn't that educational?
Mighty cute.
I thought you'd like it. The next one from Mrs. L.G. Conrad. We're asked to identify the historical backgrounds of the following movies. There are 5 altogether. One, Of Human Hearts, the backgrounds of human hearts. Mr. Bonnell?
It was the Civil War.
Yes. Two, The Buccaneer.
The period of Lafitte.
The period of Lafitte, about when was that, Mr. Bonnell?
About 1812.
Just exactly right. Three, The Pursuit of Happiness, or I guess it was called just Pursuit of Happiness, wasn't it?
That was the Revolution.
The American Revolution. Four, Lloyd's of London.
That was about the time of the Battle of Trafalgar.
Well, during what wars? During what wars?
The Napoleonic Wars.
Thank you, Miss Thompson and Mr. Bonnell. And five, The Informer. The Informer. Mr. Kieran.
The Irish Rebellion of about 1916, I should say.
Yes, 1916 is exactly correct. Mr. Bonnell, have you any theory to account for this flood of historical movies that we've been having during the last 3 or 4 years?
Absolutely none.
No theory. Nothing to be done about it. Mr. Kieran, maybe you have one.
The recent rains drove a lot of people indoors.
That probably is. To date, Information Please announces a loss of $15, which is neither good nor bad, just so-so. The next question from Miss Catherine Van Dyke of Newark, New Jersey. You're asked to mention 5 foods that have a personal name in them. For example, Charlotte Russe. Charlotte Russe would have Charlotte as a personal name. Let's see if we can get 5 of them. Oh, they're all up. Every hand up. Ladies first, Miss Thompson.
Chateaubriand.
Chateaubriand, very good. A steak named after a famous author. Mr. Kieran, that's one.
Johnny Cake, not named after me.
Johnny Cake, not named after Mr. Kieran. That's two. Mr. Adams.
Brown Betty.
Brown Betty, not named after Mr. Adams. Very good. That's 3. 2 more. Oh, I can think of a whole crowd of them. Bismarck Herring, for one.
Napoleons.
Yes, Napoleons. There are 4.
Very good, too.
That's an ad. Not allowed. One more. How about rhubarb? Don't like that. All right. How about asparagus? Don't like that either. How about artichoke? Don't like that either. One more. I know one that has the name of one of my favorite moving picture actresses in it. Mr. Adams?
Patty.
Patty. Named after Patty?
After a singer.
Oh, after Adelina Patty.
Adelina Patty.
Oh, I don't know about that one. Don't think I'll let that one go.
Crepe Suzette.
Crepe Suzette, named after?
Suzette.
Yes, or maybe Crepe. I don't know. That would do. Sure. Gingerbread was one I was thinking of, undoubtedly named after Ginger Rogers. We got those foods very easily. The next question from Mr. F.H. Homan, or Miss F.H. Homan, of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You're asked to give three quotations about kisses or kissing. Ah, that's a sweet one. Three quotations about kisses or kissing. Miss Thompson was first on that.
Roses and lilies her cheeks disclose, but her ripe lips are more sweet than those. Kiss her, caress her, with kisses such blisses dissolve us in pleasure and soft repose, from the Beggar's Opera.
Lovely, Miss Thompson. Very, very beautiful. You have me completely bewitched. That's one. Two more. Yes, Mr. Karen, I'm sorry. Mr. Karen?
Touch hands and part with laughter, touch lips and part with tears. That's from Swinburne.
Aren't they dandy this evening? Thank you, Mr. Karen. Let's have another one. Mr. Adams.
Kiss me again.
All right. I can think of several others that we might have mentioned. What's that one about the... There's no accounting for tastes of the old ladies. Just a cow. That might be one. Think of any others.
Oh, yes. Well, see the mountains kiss high heaven and the waves kiss one another.
Good for you, Miss
Thompson. Sister Flower would be forgiven, et cetera, et cetera.
I had no idea this was one of your specialties, Miss Thompson.
Neither did I.
The next question. I beg your pardon. In what motion pictures, this one comes from Mr. Robert Vernon of Washington, D.C., in what motion pictures did the following settings play an important part? One, a riverbank under a bridge. A riverbank under a bridge. Mr. Bonnell?
Well, My Man Godfrey.
You're going to stick to My Man Godfrey for the rest of the evening.
I missed it before.
I didn't see the picture and I wouldn't know. I understand, however, that's correct. A Parisian garret. A Parisian
Zola.
Garret. I beg your pardon?
Zola.
Yes, Zola. Very good. It's the opening scene in Zola. Seventh Heaven might be another one. Thank you, Miss Thompson. Three, a girl's school in Switzerland. Miss Thompson? Oh. Miss Thompson, where do you find the time to go to the movies?
The girl's school that I was thinking of wasn't in Switzerland. It was in Germany. I was thinking of making in uniform.
Yes, that was in Germany. I think for the moment, we'll try to keep Germany and Switzerland apart. Mr. Kieran?
It's that Diana Durbin picture.
Yes, very charming one called. Got a lot of M's in it. A lot of M's in it.
Well, I told you what the picture was. You're going to argue with
good.
Me?
Mr. Bonnell, what's the name of the picture? The one with Diana Durbin in it. Think of it offhand?
Not offhand.
All right, you come back next week. Mad About Music would be the answer. Gasoline station in the southwest. Following setting, Mr. Kieran?
Petrified Forest.
Very good. And five, a barge. B-A-R-G-E, a barge. Mr. Bonnell?
Tugboat Annie.
Yes, Tugboat Annie. Very good. Anna Christie, The Farmer Takes a Wife, might be other possible answers. Now you're asked to name four books. Mrs. E.G. Reed of Germantown, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, wants to know whether you can name four books that have a metal in their titles, such as Brass by Charles G. Norris. A metal. Four books.
Crock of Gold.
Very good. By whom is that, Ms.
James Thompson? Stephens.
James Stephens. That would be correct. That's one. Mr. Karen, do you have one?
No, I was just going to give the author of The Crock of Gold.
I can think of two from Dickens. Yes, Mr. Karen.
Nicholas Nickleton.
And what's the other one?
David Copperfield.
Very good. Still, I think I'll only count that as one. I gave you a hint. Let's have two more.
I remember the title, but I don't remember the author.
The title will do, Ms. Thompson.
Set in Silver.
I beg your pardon?
Set in Silver.
Set in Silver.
English novel of about 15 years ago.
That's quite possible. I don't remember it, but I'm sure that's quite correct. That would be three. Let's have a few more. Mr. Bonnell?
The Glass Key.
Glass, I don't think, would be considered a metal. Key would be a metal if it were made out of iron, but it's made out of glass, so we can't count it. Let's have another one. I can think of one that Lou Lair would give me if he were here.
I wouldn't know that one.
You wouldn't know that one?
How about The Iron Woman?
Yes, The Iron Woman.
How about
Walter Kreif's book. What is it called? Seven Iron Men.
Yes, that would be good. Or Zinc or Zwim by Horatio Allen. All right. This one from Harry Bricker of Chicago, Illinois. You're asked to name literary works in which each of the following athletic contests occur. Combine athletics and literature. One, baseball. Name a literary work in which there's a game of baseball. Mr. Kieran.
The Boy Grew Older by Heywood Broun.
Would that be right, Mr. Adams? Thanks, Mr. Kieran, Mr. Adams. All right, The Boy Grew Older by Heywood Broun.
The Sunfield by Heywood Broun.
Well, now, which is it?
Almost anything by Heywood Broun.
Yes, almost any column by Heywood Broun. I think the Sunfield is the one we're all thinking of. Elmer the Great would be another, perhaps. Any of the books by Ralph Barbour might be used also. Two, boxing. Boxing. Mr. Adams.
Cashel Byron's Profession.
Yes, by what famous boxer?
G.B. Shaw.
That's quite correct, yes. Three, fencing. Fencing. Mr. Kieran.
The Three Musketeers by Dumas Pere.
Yes, it's very good. And four, a trotting race. A trotting race. Famous old American classic. Mr. Adams?
The One Horse Shay.
Was there a trotting race in the One Horse Shay? There was a trotter, of course, but did the One Horse Shay race with any other One Horse Shay? Was it Shay against Shay? Or
he was on his way to church.
I beg your pardon?
He was on his way to church.
On his way to church, Mr. Kieran. I'm afraid I can't allow that. There wasn't a real trotting race in the One Horse Shay. But there is a famous American classic, a novel, in which a trotting race is one of the main events. Think of it?
Roman story.
Two, three. All right, I'll take that. Let's have it.
Ben-Hur.
All right, Mr. Adams. Thank you very much. Mr. Kieran and Mr. Adams working together beautifully tonight. Five, wrestling. 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 Think of any one in which there's any wrestling. Wrestling. Wrestling.
Lorna Doone.
Is there a wrestling match in Lorna Doone? Yes, there is.
John Ridd.
John Ridd, yes. The story of Laocoon in Virgil's Aeneid, I think it is. He wrestles with snakes, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. You can see it in Plaster of Paris in any shop on 6th Avenue.
Thanks so much.
And in the Holy Bible.
Very good. Or as you like.
In the Holy Bible.
I beg your pardon?
And in the Holy Bible, Jacob wrestled with God.
Yes, with the angel. You see all these things come back to you if you only wait long enough. Well, I'm afraid that's all we'll have time for this evening. We've lost... Seems only $15. And next Tuesday evening, the experts are going to consist of Mr. Adams and Mr. Kieran and Mr. Oscar Levant, the musical expert. And our guest of honor, I am very proud to say, will be that famous and beloved star of stage and screen, Miss Lillian Gish. And now, Mr. Cross, will you take the mic and remind our audience of the rules once more? Information, please, thanks you and asks you next Tuesday evening at the same time to come again.
Thank you, Mr. Fadden. We meet again next week at 8:30 for another battle of the public versus the experts. Please send us questions, any number of them, with the correct answers. And don't get worried if our editorial staff changes or edits your question slightly. Remember, $2 per question for every question used and an additional 5 spot if the board flops on it. All questions become the property of Information, Please. Send them to Information, Please, the National Broadcasting Company, Radio City, New York.